This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. Commentator David Ewing Duncan recently got some news that no other person has received. As the first human to be screened for most known genetic disorders, he was told which of his DNA might one day kill him. Duncan took a tape recorder along through the process for this report.
In the desert north of San Diego, I wait to find out if I have the genes for hundreds of diseases, from high blood pressure and cancer to schizophrenia. Others have had DNA tests for individual maladies, such as breast cancer, but I'm the first healthy person ever to be tested for so much wayward DNA.
You are our first individual guinea pig.
Andy Bruhn is a geneticist at Sequenome, an 8-year-old biotech startup that specializes in gene discovery. They agreed to screen my DNA in anticipation of test kits they and other companies hope to market in the next 2 years.
We'll be looking at approximately 100 genetic markers.
Matt McGinnis is the other geneticist combing through my DNA. He gave me a preview as we drove to Sequenome.
One is ApoE for Alzheimer's disease. I think there's other cancer-related markers, and there's quite a few aging-related markers that we'll be looking at.
A few days earlier, I gave McGinnis and Brown a vial of my blood. Today, their team finishes extracting my DNA and screens it for hidden genetic time bombs.
We're all walking around with mutations, and it just depends. It's sort of the luck of the draw whether you have some markers that are associated with shorter life on average or susceptibility to a particular disease or cancer.
There may even be genes that prevent disease, says German-born Brun, including one that he thinks may negate lung cancer in some smokers.
Philip Morris will love me to hear this. So what we did is actually we collected blood from heavy smokers over 50, 60 years, no sign of lung cancer.
Waiting for my results, the possibility that I may carry the genes for some dread disease is making me flush. As a father, I pass on to my kids not only the ingredients of life, but also the secret codes of their demise. It's no different than passing on, say, my blue eyes and a small flip in my left eyebrow. My grandmother used to call it a little lick from God. I'm told that someday DNA will not only be used to forecast future illnesses and to make drugs, but, more darkly, it could be used to deny me jobs, insurance, dates, and pills because my nucleotides don't measure up.
And what we're looking for is patterns within the family.
Before my test, Sequenome sent me to Ann Walker, a genetic counselor in Irvine, California. She counsels people whose families have inherited diseases such as Huntington's, but she has never talked to anyone getting so many tests at once. We go over my family history.
Now, your grandpa had colon cancer. That isn't unusually early for colon cancer.
Maybe Walker says that my healthy family is a strong indicator that I may have few nasty genes. Back at Sequenome, Charles Cantor, a co-founder and the chief technology officer, explains that my tests are a recent innovation.
It's going to change the practice of medicine.
Which makes me wonder, are we ready for this? In the Andrew Niccol film Gattaca, people in the near future are denied jobs without the proper DNA. They check the DNA of a prospective mate, and genetic discrimination runs rampant.
Of course, it's illegal to discriminate. Genoism, it's called. But no one takes the law seriously. If you refuse to disclose, they can always take a sample from a door handle or a handshake.
We're years away from snatching DNA from door handles. But even now, what happens when scientists such as Charles Cantor can identify a gene for a disease that has no treatment?
The problem that we create is that the information comes first, and the ability to do anything about it comes later. But I think that what we can offer people is relative risk factors, and we can make suggestions to people to adjust their lifestyles.
I don't think this kind of testing is ready yet for prime time.
Arthur Kaplan is a geneticist and bioethicist at the University of Pennsylvania.
You can't really say with great certainty that if you have a marker, you're going to have a particular outcome. That's going to come, but it's not here yet.
Kaplan also worries about startup biotech companies desperate for profits.
The opportunity for hyping fear about genetic knowledge as a way to raise funds is a very real danger, and I think it's going to take a fair amount of self-restraint, a little bit of governmental oversight, and a fair amount of ethical haranguing to make sure that these businesses take the high road.
Back at Sequinome, in a sterile room, technician Christy Johnson and I peer into a plexiglass-enclosed chamber as a robot helps to put my DNA through a grueling high-tech process.
We've taken your blood and pulled out the DNA, and then we've loaded it into this microtiter plate, so then we can analyze it in mass spec.
The chip is analyzed by a machine that measures the weight and size of my DNA using special lasers and determines if it's normal or not. After 8 hours at Sequinome, the sun is nearly down over the desert, and I just can't put it off any longer. Going into Andy Brun's office, I ask him for my results.
Yeah, let me maybe give you an overview.
He points to a computer screen. Dozens of genetic markers are splayed across it like tarot cards. Rows of DNA letters, the A's, T's, G's, and C's that make up all genetic code, and also numbers that tell me if I'm positive or negative. We start with a gene for hearing loss. Thankfully, I'm clean. I also come up negative for several cancers, schizophrenia, and Alzheimer's. I'm relieved, yet I know there has to be bad news, too. I can feel my pulse rising. Then it comes. A mutant gene, a glitch in my system. It's called ACE, and it's linked to high blood pressure, which could mark me for a heart attack. I guess I'm more stunned than I thought. I suppose that deep down I assumed that my screening would come up negative, that I would somehow live forever. But then Brun tells me these naughty genes may not even matter to me, because there's no known high blood pressure or heart disease in my family.
So you have a higher likelihood, according to these results, to suffer from cardiovascular disease. But if your parents don't suffer from cardiovascular disease, then probably you have many resistance genes against cardiovascular disease.
So I may have a gene that's essentially negating the effect of these.
Yeah. Or compensating.
This points up the flaw in these tests. They offer a link between a gene and a disease, but it's not a smoking gun that says a person will actually have, in my case, high blood pressure. Environmental factors also play a huge role in illness. Stress, what we eat, exercise. Brun also runs my results against a scale that compares me to thousands of other anonymous people. Their genomes were screened to find genetic links to hundreds of individual diseases.
So for these markers, you see you have 14 bad ones. An average person would have 15 bad ones. So you basically perform better than the average person. Yeah, not much, but a little bit. If the average person gets 75 years old, that's probably your life expectancy too.
At least, hopefully.
At least.
So I think the issue is, do people want to know their genetic risks?
Charles Cantor, Sequinome's co-founder, thinks that eventually many people will want to learn whatever they can about what secrets their genes hold.
I think it will become popular to know your genes. I mean, I think this will just become part of humanity.
Then again, Sequinome hopes to cash in on a gene testing market that could be worth $5 billion by 2006. The next night, back home in San Francisco, I'm putting my 7-year-old Alex to bed. His eyes droop under his bright white head of hair as I finish singing to him, and I wonder if I've given him any of my culprit genes. He gets half from me and half from his mother. Having not been tested, Alex, like all other humans until now, is living in blissful genetic ignorance of his DNA. Yet I do know one thing. Alex and I share that flip of our eyebrow, the lick of God. I touch his brow in the dark, and I touch mine. He stirs, but it's not enough to wake him. For NPR News, I'm David Ewing Duncan in San Francisco.
The story of David Duncan's DNA also appears in this month's Wired magazine. His book about genetics is to be published in 2004.